anybody here know, just a question, if anybody can't hear, does anybody that doesn't hear me at this moment in time? Okay, good. We're trying to get the sound right because... Let me just... came and shared with us. He was enthusiastic. He was not feeling down about anything, and he is of the opinion that a church shouldn't close and that we should be... anyway, so he was really encouraging, I believe. Board members can share with you afterwards if you want to know more. But I wanted to share with you what's on my heart. And I want each of us to understand something that is so fundamental. A comment made in the board meeting, back to basics. And that's where I want to go today. I want to go back to the time when Jesus was on the mount. He had died, he had risen again, he had spent 40 days meeting with his disciples on occasions, showing that he was alive. Before he was called up back to heaven, he shared some words. And I will begin there in Matthew 28 and from 16 to 19. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Maybe we all think that all of the disciples were always, always positive. But notice on this occasion that we know there was one that was missing because of what had taken place, but among the 11 that were left, it said some doubted. I wonder if you've noticed that before. I wonder, where are we? Are we confident that Jesus is alive? That he's risen, that he's ascended, that he's coming again, that we just heard? Because we should be. And if we're doubting, maybe there is a reason why, and maybe we need to express that, share that with someone. Well, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. We need to notice that here is Jesus letting them know that he has been given all authority. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has authority in heaven and on earth. And so we need to have that confidence in him. We need to see Jesus for who he is. He is the one who came from God, entered this world as that babe of Bethlehem, began his ministry at the age of 30, was baptized by John and the Holy Spirit descended, and how that voice from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." how John pointed to him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so he wanted them to understand that he is risen, he is ascending. He had told them, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. But you are here and you are going to be my witnesses. And so he reminded them of his authority. Let's recognize his authority. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the same power, the same, he has that authority. So we have that access to God through Jesus. He is the one we come to. He is our great high priest. We don't need any other man. We only need Jesus. We come to God through Jesus. And so he gives them that affirmation of who he is and that he has power. And then he gives them a commission. He says, go. And that's why I entitled the message today, go. He said, go therefore. Therefore means there's something before that means that we need to. Why is it that we need to go? We need to go because he has all authority and he sends us. Go and make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? Make disciples, not just fans, not just admirers. Go and make disciples. Now, they were disciples. What did that mean? They had come, Jesus had called them to follow him. They left their nets behind. Some of them were fishermen, they left their nets behind, and they had come and followed Jesus. And Jesus had told them, I will make you fishers of men. Another picture that he gave. But I'm not going to go there at this moment in time. I just want you to know that he told them to go and make disciples. In other words, a disciple was one who had been, it's a kind of, I think the closest we come to it is an apprentice. Someone who has walked alongside a skilled person. Somebody who has things to teach us. And then stands over and watches. Apprentice watches the apprentice and teaches the skills that they already have learned. And teaches what they need to know. But it's through actually doing it. It's through being alongside. Jesus gave his disciples experience of being on their own. He sent them out in twos. He said, don't take any bag for your journey. Go. And they came back with a report. They were amazed that God could use them, that they didn't need Jesus with them. He had sent them. And so he gave them practical experience before he left them. And that's what happens with an apprentice. An apprentice serves his time and eventually goes on his own. And that apprentice then in turn goes on and trains someone else. That is what a disciple is. The disciple is one of these who had learned from Jesus and learned the truth about God's love for mankind. Learn the reality that God loves. There's not one in this world that God does not love and care for. Jesus had taught that with no hesitation. And so he is instructing these who he has discipled to go and do the same as he has done. Train. Teach. Enable. That they themselves may go and share the good news. A disciple is not just a follower. A disciple is not just one who watches and learns. But a disciple is one who has watched and learned and does. That's what he wants us to be. Disciples. And he wants us to do as he gave to those disciples. Go and make disciples. Find someone who God leads you to. And invite them to come alongside you. Or you go alongside them to help them in their walk. Maybe there's somebody you know who's struggling with something. And you can come alongside them and help them. God has given us all different experiences. And those experiences are lessons for us to learn that we might share with others. And so his instructions to these before he ascended to heaven was to go and make disciples. Not just of those people that were close, but he said of all nations. You see, the Jewish mind was limited. Those who were brought up in the Jewish religion, they only thought of themselves. They didn't look outside because they didn't consider that Gentiles were anything, because they were called as a special people, and they are a special people. But God has brought us and taught the disciples that even the Gentiles are welcome. He said, other sheep I have who are not of this fold. He's talking about those who are non-Jews. And he had demonstrated by his actions how that those who came to him, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus had welcomed all, even those who were considered enemies. His first encounter was of a woman that none of those followers of him would have accepted or even talked to. But what happened with that woman that Jesus talked to? We call her the woman of Samaria because she came from Samaria. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, but in John chapter 4, you can read the story. And Jesus knew all about her, and she was so amazed that he knew about her. And as he shared the good news with her, she who would have been rejected by her own people went and told. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So she brought people to Christ because of her acceptance. And so Jesus demonstrated. And that meant the Samaritans came to Jesus, and Jesus taught them, accepted them. And so it is for all nations. And we need to recognize that. And that responsibility to the disciples was that. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, you know, when an apprentice finishes, they have a certificate, a diploma, whatever, and they're signed on. As followers of Jesus, in order to be a full disciple of Jesus, as he gives them the instructions, he tells them, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is an important, if you like, an affirmation of our acceptance of him. And he comes to us. That's another subject I'll take another day. Teaching them, he says, to observe all things that I've commanded you. So again, the disciple, he's asking these to teach, to come to this place where those they meet, they disciple, they baptize, and then they teach them all the things that Jesus had taught them. This was their responsibility. But he gave them that commission, he gave them that command, he gave them that task to do. Remember, he began with saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He concludes by giving them that commission, by telling them what they need to do, and then saying, "I'm going to be with you always. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So there's that assurance they may be going on their own, but they will have his presence with them. Now, what did that mean? They didn't understand at that time what that meant. "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age." So that's how Matthew's gospel ends. So here are the disciples. They've been given a commission. Luke tells us an account of the same situation, but he tells them that you will be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, then into the uttermost part of the world. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2. Who would like to turn with me? Acts chapter 2, I've dealt with this. What was it that they meant when he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age"? He had told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the promise my Father has come upon you. And at Pentecost that happened. The Holy Spirit descended upon them and they went. They had to wait. And there was a time when they had to go. There may have been a time when we have had to wait, but I believe now is the time to go. And what happened on that day is that the disciples went out and they did fulfill that commission that Jesus had given them. They knew his presence with them by the Holy Spirit. They had an amazing encounter that they were able to share the good news with people from all nations that were present in Jerusalem at that time, speaking to them in their own language, a foreign tongue to them. They were Jews, a lot of them Galileans. But the message was proclaimed. Peter got up and shared, and on that first day, we read that there were 3,000 added to their number that day. This is what we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. "With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers." So you see, they were fulfilling that commission that Jesus had given them. They were doing what he had asked them to do. And so those who heard the word, received Jesus, received forgiveness through him, they started by being baptized, a new beginning. And because they were brand new to this, they needed to learn. And so what the writer to the Acts says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. In other words, they met with the disciples. They wanted to learn more. They wanted to be involved, they wanted to do, they wanted to share. And that's how the church began. Go back to basics. This is how the church began. God moved through the city of Jerusalem amongst the people from all nations who were present at that time. And those who believed wanted to know more, continued in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, the apostles' teaching. The apostles sharing what they had learned from Jesus. They were doing that part that they had been discipled to do. And they shared it. And that's how the church began. And it says fellowship. That meant that as they came, they realized they were part of a family. They were now adopted into the family of God. Jew and Gentile alike. And so they shared together. They had fellowship. They shared in the breaking of bread. That was the other thing that Jesus had told them to baptize. But also he had said before he went to heaven, he had told the disciples to take the bread and wine. And so when they shared together, what would have happened in those days? They would have invited others into their homes and they would have learned more and they would have shared meals together. And during the meal time, the bread would have been taken. It wouldn't have been as formal as we do it. It would have been a table that had been prepared and on that table there was always bread. And so they took the bread. A reminder of that Jesus had died for them. And so it was an affirmation of the act that their sins were forgiven, that Jesus had become sin for them. And they could know peace with God through Jesus. They took the wine that was always present too. So they always remember that Jesus was the one. Jesus was the one who had taught the disciples. Jesus was the one who was going to enable the disciples as the disciples to share. And so it's important that they did that. And so it says, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together, had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So if we go back to basics as a church, what do? We already meet with people. We already on a daily basis meet with people who don't attend church, who have no relationship with church. Maybe something in the past has hurt them and they don't want anything more. But by our actions, actions speak louder than words. Jesus demonstrated by the things he did his love for mankind. His love for the outcast. He said, I've not come for the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Now we're not to go out and say and tell everybody that they're sinners, because we are sinners anyway. So when we point a finger, I always say, remember, look how many fingers are pointed back at you. But as a church, I don't believe this church needs any new programs or anything that way, in a way. But we need to come to a place where we are excited because Jesus, we are disciples of Jesus. And we want others to come to that place, to know him the way that we know him. Or if we don't know him the way we should do, then maybe to work on that. To the importance of Bible study, the importance of the apostles' teaching was there. The importance of prayer was there. You see the basics. Baptism, teaching, fellowship, prayer. Those are the things that happen. It is when that takes place and when we become enthusiastic, maybe we know we can look back at times when maybe there were so many people in this church and there aren't so many today. But don't look back. Just realize that we are here in the present and we are here. God has called us to be here for a purpose.
And we need to be enthusiastic. Those disciples couldn't stay behind the closed door that they had. They moved out. They couldn't stay. And when persecution happened, they couldn't be contained. Because God was with them by the Holy Spirit. They were followers of Jesus, and Jesus had given them that command and the promise to be with them always as they go out. That promise is for us too. That commission is for us too. You know what? Just stop for a moment and think. If you knew one person who at this moment has not come to church, and you pray about that person and say, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to that person, that their heart may be softened, that they will come to church with me. Or maybe God is preparing the way and the relationship is building up because of something you're doing for that person or you have done for that person. We need to be fervent in prayer. If we are fervent in prayer and say, Lord, use me, He will use us. If each one of us brought one, we double the congregation. And then if the other person that we bring brings one, you know how that works. That's how the church multiplied. You see, what happened was that the people saw. That's what happened at Pentecost. The people saw the change in the disciples. From being fearful to having courage. We do not face the opposition that some people in this world face for being Christians. Those who face the very real persecution are strong in their faith because they experience the power of God, because they surrender to Him and they're wholehearted for Him. But we become half-hearted. We become satisfied with the status quo and we just go along. But that is not the way it should be. The way it should be is that we are so enthusiastic that people capture our excitement. I can see people getting excited about the Blue Jays these days. And I'm not a sports person, so I'm being careful. But we need to be enthusiastic. Do we really believe, or are we, as some of those 11, doubting? Do we believe that God is still the same today? That His power is still the same? Do we believe that we have a message to tell? You know, there's a song that we sometimes sing, I think it's in the hymn book, we've a story to tell to the nations. It begins with us. We are the story. We are the people that people see. If people see something different from what we preach, then that undermines it. I've seen that too often. But if we're consistent in our walk, and if we are in our daily lives showing that we're walking with God, what will happen is that we will see revival. We will see people wanting to know what is taking place in First Baptist in Collingwood. It's not about the music. It's not about superficial things. It's about the real. We need to be real for God. We need to be a people who are close to Him, are feeding on His Word, are listening to what He's saying to us, and share. Have a smile on our face and joy in our hearts. The song we used to sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And glory to His name. It's walking with God. Not walking in our own strength, but walking with God and surrendering to His ways. Following Him. Being a true disciple. What we have learned up to now, put it into practice. A true tradesman wants that trade to continue and keep the abilities, keep the skills going. They're not half-hearted about teaching someone because they have a pride in what they do. We need to have our pride in Jesus. Let us glory in Him. But let us, as we leave this place, go into this week, say, Lord, who are you leading me to this week? Who do you want me to talk to this week? If by our lives we are walking with Him, people will inquire of us. If we are reflecting Him, if we are being a true disciple, if we are being a dedicated disciple, others will want to know. And we need to show love and compassion, not judgment, not criticism. We need to show God accepts whoever. Let us learn to do just that. And may God work among us and through us, that we might see others coming to have that experience too. Amen. Now we sing our final hymn. And it's a prayer. Make me a blessing.
I say amen. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of your word. We thank you that we know Jesus to be our Savior and friend. We know your presence with us by your Holy Spirit. As we go from here, may we realize we are going into a mission field. Help us by our lives to demonstrate your love. Help us in our lives to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. May others be drawn to you through us. May we take the light to the darkness that is in this world. And may people be drawn to the light. We ask, O God, that we might be fervent in prayer. That we might see others coming to know you. That you will build your church. So we commit ourselves to you. We ask that you would use us this week. That we might have a fresh understanding of what it means to go and make disciples. So we pray that we might know your presence with us, as you promised. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we pray that you'll go with us as we go. Watch over us. And provide for all our needs. Give us the words when we need the words. Give us the actions when we need the actions. We are your disciples. We want to lead others to you. So we pray that you will hear and answer our prayers. We ask all in the name of your Son, our risen Lord Jesus Christ.